The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After Jesus was baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. I heard a wonderful sermon yesterday by Judith, and she gave me kind of the key for my sermon. It's really nice to steal every so often. Judith said something very nice at a service yesterday. She said, "You know who you are when you know whose you are." And I said, "That makes sense. That makes sense." That really put together the sermon that I was thinking of today. There was a study done in March of 2014 by a guy named Seth Godin. And he's on TED Talk if you want to take a look at it at some point. And he talks about the tribes that we are. In his talk, he tries to describe how we believe that we gain our identity by ourselves, that we decide who we are and what we're going to be by waking up one day and saying, "I'm going to be this," and thus you're that person. But his study reveals something a little different. His study reveals that we really are part of our community. We're really part of our tribe. We get our identity from the social environment that we're involved in, the families that we come from, the friends that we have, the people we hang out with. It's not that we get up one morning and we say, "Hey, you know what, I'm going to be an artist, I'm going to be an Irish dancer, or I'm going to be a politician, or God forbid, I'm going to be a priest." Right? You don't wake up and want to do that stuff. Amen. But but let's say you're hanging around with people. Let's say your friends are such that they are Irish dancers, that they may be politicians, that they may be priests, and you find yourself kind of feeling like, you know, this is not so bad. This is something that I really feel drawn to. This is something that I feel like I'm connected to. And so that may be the springboard for you becoming one of those kinds of people, because you take that identity from that relationship that you have, from these people that you're with. And so I think that that has a lot to do with baptism. Baptism is something that we all kind of identify or should be identifying with God. And the one thing that happens is when we're reading this particular passage, if you look at the passage just a little earlier theologically, not narratively, because the Bible will always talk to us theologically, the last thing we spoke about was Jesus' baptism. And right after he was baptized, what happens? He goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, right? We know that. This is what's happening today. And so the idea of Jesus going out and being tempted is something that really brings us to the question of how he identifies with God, because we hear God say to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so I said to myself, "Oh my God, this is very interesting." And then I read the first reading that was read today, and it said about Adam and Eve, and I was saying, "Wait a minute, something happened with Adam and Eve. They were tempted in a way that threw them off." Because every temptation is to try to get you off the sense of who you are and whose you belong to or whose you are. And so they were tempted. The devil came to them. He didn't tempt them right away. What he did, he tried to sow disrespect or maybe sow distrust. He says to them, "Did God really say he's going to kill you? Did God say you can eat from this tree? Surely you're not going to die, are you?" And he begins to sow distrust in God. And so it makes it easier for him to finally say, "Everything's going to be fine. Why don't you just eat and you'll be fine?" And so they do. And what happens at that point is because they try to forge their own identity instead of relating their identity to God and their faithfulness with God and what God had said, because they start to distrust what God told them. "Everything is here for you, but don't touch that." It's a great test. You ever do it to your kids? Do everything you want, but don't touch that. I used to do it with my kids. Don't kiss me. Please don't kiss me. And they would love kissing me. And it was so cool. And you would tell them not to touch something, and that's exactly what they would do. So you wonder, there's another sermon in that one. But, you know, perhaps we'll get to that at some other point. But I think this point is that they were distrustful of God. The devil, the Satan, was able, through the snake or through the serpent, be able to tell them, it's not true what God says. And so they're not able to resist it because they don't have this relationship with God. All they have is, maybe he's right and maybe I'll make my own decision because I am indeed my own person, am I not? And so what happens instead, as you read the temptation of Jesus, is very different, his response. Because he's fully grounded in the Word of God. And every temptation that he is challenged with, he responds with Scripture. God says, you should live by the Word of God. God does not ask of us to do this. Get away from me, and Satan. He says all of these things to the Satan, and he rebukes him because he's so grounded in his faith with God. He's so grounded in his identification with God that he cannot get knocked off. You see, temptation comes to us and tries to knock us off what we're focused on. The moment you're not completely focused on what you're doing, temptation can sneak in on you and pull you away. And so we are all trying to find our identity in our society. And I tell you, temptations are not coming in the form of apples hanging off trees. The temptations we have today are temptations about, will you cheat on your taxes? Will you cheat on your wife? Will you cheat on your husband? Will you lie to your employer? Will you try to be a person that you're not? Will you buy into the market mentality and try to play up to being something that you know in your heart you're not? Temptation is everywhere in our society. But the question is, who are you? Who are you and how? Whose are you? And today Jesus is saying, you belong to God through baptism. You belong to God because you were baptized in the waters that when you were raised up, you were identified as a child of God who stands and emulates this relationship in the world that tries to tell you you're not. You see, this is the challenge we have to face. And one of the greatest challenges that we have as modern humans is that we don't know who we are. We're riddled by anxiety. We're riddled by all kinds of temptations to try and hook up with people that give us a sense of belonging. Believe me, when I worked in prison systems, I would see it all the time with gang relationships or any kind of crime that took place. People would want to be part of that because they wanted to get an identity. They wanted to feel as though they were bigger than themselves. And there's a price you pay when you belong to a group like that. You lose yourself. You lose your identity. You lose your independence and freedom. Because then you have to buy into and buy the whole concept of what they tell you you are. And that's the biggest challenge we have in our society. That's why we can be played by these big corporations. Do you know that they hire psychiatrists and psychologists to figure out what makes you tick? So that when they put a commercial for 10 seconds on that TV, that you'll say, I want that product. Or they'll sell you a fad that by the age of 35 or 40, you should have enough to retire. And if you don't get if you only got the silver, you didn't get the gold. You know that mentality that if you're not number one, you're nothing. And all of us fall prey to this. All of us feel weakened by this reality. But you know what? It's not the reality of truth. It's the reality of commerce. It's the reality of our culture that tries to exploit and expunge from you everything they can. And so the gospel says, remember that you are who you are because of who you belong to, whose you are. And we've got to remind ourselves that we are children of God, that we are reflectors of the light of truth and of the kingdom of God in this world, that if anything, we should stand for independence, justice, and truth, that we should care for each other, that we should fight for things that are relevant to everyone else, that we should make an effort to lift up others in our world because this is what God does for us. So Jesus rebukes the Satan, and he says to the Satan, be gone, in a sense. You cannot tempt God. And he was firmly grounded. But Adam and Eve, it wasn't only Eve, you know. It was Adam too. They both wanted to try this thing out. And we always want to blame the woman, right? I love this story. It was her fault, you know. She made me eat, you know. But you know what? You can't pass the buck because you are responsible for what you do. And so just like she distrusted God enough to break the promise and to seek her identity by herself, to re-identify herself in her own mind, so did Adam. The question is for you, what do you identify with? Really? Do you identify with your profession? That's why a lot of men, particularly when they retire, they have a difficult time just being who they are, because they identify with their work. They identify with their profession. They identify with, you know, whatever accoutrements they've gained, you know, degrees or rank or whatever it is. And it's hard for them to remember that they're human first, that they're a father, that they're a husband, that they're a brother, or that they're a friend to somebody else. And suddenly they feel worthless. They feel as though they don't have anything to contribute. And so they shrink back and they shrink down and they eventually die out. Because society is saying, unless you can continue to contribute in the same way you have, you're nothing. And you know that? That's the Satan lying to you, to undermine you, so that you will give in to all the other stupid things that say that you have value. Money, power, women, cars, whatever makes you feel like that. These are lies that are perpetrated in our society to constantly have you chase with your nose what it is that you think is true, instead of with your heart and with your soul, knowing what is truth in your relationship with God. So today, think seriously. Whose do you belong to? Do you belong to an economic idea? The economic God? Maybe I should make more money. Maybe I should strive to be better. Do you pursue a God of complete youth, where every wrinkle must be wiped away, every gray hair dyed, every sag tucked? I don't think so. You know, we fall prey to all that kind of stuff. Why not just be yourself, but be fully yourself and know that your God, that God loves you? Is that so hard to accept? Maybe, yeah, I talked about the baptism. Oh, yeah, I can tell you the baptism makes you the son of God, the girl of God, of female of God. And you can say to yourself, okay, this is Sunday, but my Monday afternoon, you forget all about it. Because by then the pressures of life and the pressures of the world get you. And you forget whose you are. You see, we have to practice that as a discipline. Whose you are is something that we have to do every single day. Take time out to reflect. Take time out for prayer. Take time out for meditation. Take time out just to look around. And remember that what is around us is something that is absolutely beautiful and complex and delicate and fragile, just like you. And that if you accept that, you'll accept that in somebody else. And that what you have between you is a miracle. What you have between you is a gift, a grace, that we can only hold with trembling hands, recognizing that our lives, as they interact, are for a reason that we can grow into and grow from. And that life is a constant blessing, and that each of us is part of that blessing to each other. So, whose are you? Are you caught up with age? Are you caught up with your illness? Are you caught up with a debt? Are you caught up with a divorce? Caught up with joblessness, retirement? What do you call it? Guilt? Are you caught up with guilt? Because all of these things will make you its prisoner. All of these things. I remember one professor said to me, that which gets you becomes your God. Whatever gets you, gets you. And it finally gets you to be the subservient of that. You see, we're not meant to be subservient to anyone but God alone. Which means that all of life is open to us. Everything is possible. But if you give your life to one thing in this world, you lose all of that. Do the mathematics. Think about it. To serve the one God is to be open to the fullness of life and to all of its rich and complexity. But to serve one of its idols is to give it all up and find yourself in deep need and in debt. Amen.